Okay, this morning we want to, of course, continue on this line of fellowship regarding the cycle of our spiritual life. So what were the four crucial items related to the cycle of our spiritual life? That was our first question, right, last night? What's the first one?
Eternal life.
Right. Then what?
Fellowship.
Amen.
Divine light.
Praise the Lord. So this is the cycle of our spiritual life, right? And this is going on, hopefully, in your life, day by day, right? And as this cycle is going on, Christ is being deposited into our being, right? Little by little, day by day, more Christ is being added into us, right? Which is producing the growth, and eventually will bring us to maturity. So we need to stay in this cycle of life. So when Brother Ricky shared on the first message regarding the eternal life, he actually didn't touch the outline that much. So anyway, I just wanted to touch a few points on that outline so that you could see a few things here related to the eternal life. But we all have received the eternal life. When we believe into the Lord, we receive eternal life. This is not a temporal life, but it's an eternal life. So the eternal life is installed in each one of us. Aren't you glad you have the eternal life?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this eternal life, it has an issue, and it issues in the fellowship of life. And what is that fellowship of life? That fellowship, as we saw yesterday, is just the flowing of this divine life. So we need this flowing of this eternal life. And then, of course, as this life is flowing, it brings the divine light. There's the shining from God in our being, right? And then with the light, then we realize there's the need for the blood. And so the blood cleanses and gives us more eternal life. So this is the cycle, right, going on. Eternal life, the fellowship of life, the divine life, and the blood of Jesus. And we're gaining Christ each time we're in this cycle. So one of the points in the first outline was, and this touched me very much, it says, this is Roman numeral 2 in that first outline, it says the eternal life is the life that is really life. This is the life that is really life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The life that is really life. And then, you know, that's in 1 Timothy 6:19. And actually, that verse says we need to lay hold on that which is really life. We need to lay hold on that which is really life. And then actually, a little earlier than that, in verse 12, it also tells us that we need to lay hold of the eternal life to which you were called. So we need to lay hold of this life, brothers and sisters. So what does that mean, to lay hold? Brother Vin, can you stand up for a minute? You know, of course, we're talking a lot in the first line on our contact with the Lord. Just a little detour here for a minute. So when we contact the Lord, right, he's the eternal life, right? So what do we need to do? We should lay hold of him. So in the morning when we come to him, we shouldn't come, amen, Lord, I love you.
Amen. I love you.
Give him a little hug. Right, Lord, I love you. Praise the Lord. Be with me today. Amen. Right? Is that laying hold of the eternal life?
No.
No. Right? But what does that mean, to lay hold? What it means is,
Lord, you. Oh, you're beautiful today.
Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
It's good, Lord. I want to see you face to face.
So that's what it means to lay hold on the eternal life. We need to lay hold. This needs to be our attitude and our desire in the morning. You can sit down, Brad. Thank you. Is it on? Okay. So this is what it means to lay hold of the eternal life. We need to be desperate for this life. This should be the way we contact the Lord in the morning. You know, I've been married for almost 32 years now. And next month will be 32 years. And, you know, of course, I love my wife very much, and I can't imagine living without my wife. But, you know, when we first got married, you know, when I would leave in the morning to go to work, I'd give her a big hug and a kiss on the lips, right? And then when I come home in the evening, the same thing, big hug and a kiss. So now, over the years, though, now when I leave, I'll just say, you know, sometimes, well, we'll see you later. Have a good day. I'll see you later on, you know. Or sometimes, you know, if she's up just before I leave or something, I'll give her a kiss on the cheek. And then a lot of times she'll say, that's all? Right? What is she looking for? She wants that hug and that kiss. So sometimes we're like this with the Lord, right? We'll just give him a little kiss on the cheek. But what does he want? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Right? He wants us to embrace him, to kiss him, face to face, lips to lips. This needs to be our contact with the Lord, right? It's an intimate, a personal, affectionate contact with the Lord. So don't forget that. So when we come to the Lord in the morning, realize that we're laying hold of him, right? That means to what? That means to grasp intensively. This needs to be the way we need to contact the Lord in the morning. So this is the eternal life in us. And then, from yesterday and this matter of the on the outline related to the fellowship of life, what is the fellowship of this life? The fellowship of this life, on the outline it said what? Is that it is the flow of the eternal life within all the believers. This is the fellowship of this life. It's the flow of this life into each one of us, right? And then also, what is the function of the fellowship of life? The function of the fellowship of life is to inwardly supply the believers with all that all that is in the life of God. So this is why we need to be in this fellowship, because everything that is in the life of God is flowing in this fellowship. Amen. So we're gaining Christ in this fellowship. So we need to stay in this fellowship. And of course, we saw the two aspects of the vertical and horizontal fellowship. And what? And finally, on that outline, is that we need to maintain. And that's what we want to talk about more this morning, is how we can maintain this fellowship. We want to stay in this fellowship. We want to stay in this eternal life. We want to stay in this flow. So we have to maintain the divine fellowship in order to what? In order to be healthy spiritually. So we want a healthy spiritual life. So why don't we turn to the outline for this morning, and it's on page 29. And let's just read the verses for this morning. There's a few verses. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we can just read them together. 1 John 1, 5 to 8. Okay, you got it? Okay, let's go. And this... still looking for it? 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 8. And this is the message which we have heard from him. Amen. Jesus cleanses us from every sin. If we say that we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, real quick, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Those are short verses. All right. Whoever has it, go ahead and read it. Amen. Amen. So, Roman numeral 1 says, according to the cycle of our spiritual life, the eternal life issues in its fellowship, and the fellowship of eternal life brings in the shining of the divine light within our being. So what is this light? Well, verse 5 in 1 John tells us, right? What is this light? God is light. God is this light. Amen. So when you see God, what do you see? Light. So when you see light, what do you see? God. Right? You can't separate the two. God is light. They're inseparable. And also, where there's light, what? Darkness ceases to exist. There cannot be any darkness. And where there's light, sin is exposed. And where there's light, God is present. Right? In John 9:5, it says, the Lord said, "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So where God was, there was light. Where his presence was, there was light. And then 1 Peter 2:9 says, what? That he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord, he called you.
Amen.
Out of darkness.
Amen.
Into his marvelous light.
Amen.
What a mercy that we have been called into this marvelous light, into this divine fellowship where we can get the light. So Roman numeral 2, it says God is light, and light is the nature of God's expression. And then A says the divine light is the divine life in the Son operating in us. So what is this divine light? The divine light is the Son operating in us. This is God operating in you. You know, just like Brother Ricky shared the other night, you know, the Lord tells you, okay, pick up that piece of paper. Or you don't look at that. Or don't go there. Right? All these little speakings. This is God is light. This is light. You know, a light from God is not a lightning bolt or a big, you know, spotlight around you. No, this is not God. Don't look for something like this. No, God comes as light in so many ways, right? In his speaking within, in his touching within, in the sense of life within us. This is God coming to us as light, right? Praise the Lord. So it's the Son operating in us. And it says, this light shines in the darkness within us, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And I really appreciate, there's a reference verse here in Roman numeral 2a. It's in 2 Corinthians 4:6. I just want to read something to you there because it really touched me what this light does. And the verse says, "Because the God who said, 'Out of darkness light shall shine,' is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
So he is the one who shined in our hearts. And what touched me about this in one of the footnotes here, the first one, just at the very end of this footnote, of course, this book in 2 Corinthians is on the ministers of the new covenant and producing the ministers. And just the very end of this footnote says, what they did, this was the apostles, what they did for Christ and what they were to the believers were the issue of God shining. It was the issue of God shining. What they were and what they did was the issue of God shining. God shining produces the new covenant ministers and their ministry. So when we're in his shining, when we're in his face, when we're before him in his presence, as the shining is going on, right? We saw this is the Son operating in us. And what is that doing? It's producing something in us, right? It's making us something. It's making us the ministers of the new covenant. It's constituting us with Christ. So we have this constitution of God in our being, and then, of course, that overflows in a ministry to others. So this is what this light is doing. It's producing something in us. So don't you want to be in this light? Don't you want to be constituted with Christ? So we need to come into this light. So, and then the next point, B, under Roman numeral 2, it says, when we follow this light, we shall by no means walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I was really touched with this, that this point here, when we follow this light. So that's the key, brothers and sisters, when we follow. How about if we don't follow? How about if we don't follow? You know, the Lord, right, when he was on the earth, he was the light of the world, right? There he was. He was the light roaming on the earth. But some followed, but most people wouldn't follow. Most people didn't like that light, right? They chose to remain in darkness rather than light. And even that verse really touched me in John 3:19. It says, men love darkness rather than light. Do you know people that love darkness? They actually love darkness. Can you imagine? Loving darkness rather than light. I know I was there before I was saved, right? There were some things that I was involved in, and I actually loved those things. I loved doing them, and I knew they were wrong, but I loved doing them. So a lot of us, this was our case, right? Before we were saved, we just loved. We loved the darkness rather than light. But what a mercy, we're here. We were brought out of that darkness into his marvelous light. Right? He called us out of that. But in our own experience, you know, when this light comes to us in the Lord speaking, like some of those things that were described by Brother Ricky, you know, a lot of times we just choose not to follow that. We choose not to follow it, right? And so what happens is there's just this feeling of darkness, right? Because we're not following the light. And so what do? We give up the fellowship. We give up the enjoyment of the Lord. What do? We forfeit that portion of Christ. You know, think about how much Christ you forfeited because you didn't pay attention to that light, to that speaking, and follow it. But rather, we just resisted it, right? We chose not to follow it. And so we gave up some dispensing of Christ in our being. So now the Lord has to take a little longer on you, right? Because this dispensing is going on constantly. But when we reject it, when we resist it, then the Lord is resisted. He can't add that portion of Christ. He can't add that little Christ during that time. So we just delay the Lord in our being, the growth and the maturity. So may we just follow the light. Amen. Right? Don't resist it. Don't resist that speaking of the Lord, but say amen. And then that flow just continues, right? And then it deposits the element of Christ in our being. Praise the Lord. What a mercy. And then also in B, number one, under B says, to walk in the divine light, which is the expression of God, is to dwell, live, move, and have our being in God. So we can actually live in this light every day. You know, it's not just for the morning, right? It's not just for specific times, but every day we can live in this light. We live under his speaking. When the Lord is speaking, we say amen. The Lord is speaking to us all day. We just need to pay attention to it. We need to follow it. And then we will have a life of living in the light, right? This would become a habit of walking in the light. And number two says, to walk habitually in the darkness, which is the expression of Satan, is to live, behave, and have one's being in the nature of Satan's evil works. Okay, and this word stood out to me, to walk habitually in darkness. You know, of course, in John, 1 John, he talks about practicing sin. And when he's talking about practicing, it doesn't mean with us, of course, we know we sin. And, you know, we sin occasionally, and of course, that's why we have the blood, you know, to cover and take care of those sins, right? But habitually, this means that someone who practices sin is living in sin habitually. And I don't think any of us are living in sin habitually. I hope not. I'm sure we're not, We wouldn't be here, of course, if we were. But here's where I would caution you, though, and I was really touched with this. But we could be very close to somebody who is. And I'll give you an example in a minute. But you can be very close to someone who is practicing sin. And if you are, that can have an effect on you, on your spiritual life. And I'll give you an example. I know two young brothers, and they're both church kids, different localities. And they each live in a living situation where they live with a friend, but that friend is living in another room in the same apartment with his girlfriend. So that brother is there in that same apartment, living in a situation where there are ones that are practicing sin, that are living in sin. Now let me ask you, that brother who is living with those ones that are practicing sin, do you think that brother is walking in the light? What do you think? Probably not, right? If he was walking in the light, it's not likely he would get himself into a living situation like that. So you see how we could be close to someone. You know, I think most of us here wouldn't enter into a situation like that. But there might be some other kind of situations with certain group of friends. You know, you may be very close to, you may hang out with quite a bit. You know, so I would caution you, even though we don't practice sin, we don't live in sin habitually, but if we get too close, that doesn't mean we don't care for them, right? And we, you know, of course we do. We love the sinners. We need to preach the gospel to them. But be careful not to get too close to those who practice sin. Because and with these brothers, one, he's not in the church life at all. And the other just comes around once in a while. But, from what I know, he has not had a solid church life in several years. And he's been living in this situation for a little while. So this can have a real impact on our spiritual life. So anyway, I just say that just to caution you. We want to be those who are walking in the light.
Amen.
Staying in the light. Staying in this cycle so that we can gain more Christ and grow and mature to please the Lord, right? Okay, I'm going to stop here and Brother Pat will continue. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it good?
Amen.
Praise the Lord for light.
Amen.
Can we all say that?
Praise the Lord for light.
I was telling the brothers, probably we like to say more praise the Lord for life, don't we? Well, remember that light is part of the cycle, right? So how about we say praise the Lord for life and praise the Lord for light.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Doesn't that feel good?
Amen.
So we're going to continue the outline. And let's read Roman numeral 3, A and B together. Okay? Let's read Roman 3, A and B together. Go.
The light is crucial in maintaining our fellowship with God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so here we see, if you can just kind of picture in your mind, we didn't draw it on the board, that cycle, right? So we want to stay in the cycle, right? And this is about maintaining our fellowship with God. So it's possible that our fellowship with God is conditional, right, and can be broken, so it has to be maintained. And one of the stipulations of that is B, in order to maintain fellowship with God, we need to abide in God as light. Now, I know that when we talk about light, you're probably like me. Where is the light? Where is it? I can't see it. You know, it's so abstract. You know, what are you talking about, brothers? You know, what's the Bible talking about? Where is it? I can't see it, you know. So I hope that in my sharing, light becomes very real to you, you know. I don't mean that our brother's sharing was not real, you know, in any way. But I mean, it's just that, you know, I think for our experience, we really need, right, to know. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean to experience God as light? What is it like? What does it look like? You know, and so we're going to look at some principles that are we can see related to light, and we're going to look at some cases in the Bible, and these cases are just fantastic. I love them. I love the Bible, but these cases really reveal, you know. Let me just ask Zach. I'll just ask Zach this question. Zach, how do you know there is light? How do you know there's light? Not a spiritual question. Okay. How do you know there's light?
I can see.
You see light? You really see it? What's that?
See people.
So what do you see, actually? Okay, who knows what I'm getting at? Okay, I'll go back to my question. How do you know? That's okay. No, there's no problem with it. How do you know there's light? You're right. You're on the right track. How do you know? You see things, right? You can see things. Okay, so the light is shining, right? There's got to be light. If we could take away all the light in this room, would anybody see anything? Nothing, right? We wouldn't see anything. Have you ever been inside a cave and they shut the lights out? That's a real weird feeling, isn't it? You start to even imagine things, you know, because that's the last impression you had, and then those things deform into other things and you really get freaked out, you know. So you don't want that to happen. But, you know, the reason, how we know light is that it shines, at least one, right? At least one thing. Because light itself is, you know, where is it? I can't, you know. It's only, you can see my hands. Why? Because there's what? There's light shining. But where is the light? You might say it's in that bowl, but I might argue with it. It's somewhere between there and here, but, you know, it's, you know what I mean? Isn't that strange? All right, well, so we know light, why? Because of the things it what? It shines upon, right? Yeah, or we see, right? It's shining upon. Okay, let's read the next point. C, go.
The result of being in the light is the recognition that we are
utterly sinful.
Mm-hmm. The light exposes our failures, mistakes, wrongdoings,
mm-hmm.
impure motives, and evil intentions.
Wow. So that was kind of what we were talking about, wasn't it? So the result of being in the light, right? There's a result from being in the light is the recognition. You know, I looked up this word recognition. It means some of the synonyms: to be aware of, to admit, and to concede. Okay? So the result of being in the light is the recognition that we are how sinful? Oh Lord Jesus. So light reveals that we are could reveal that we are utterly sinful. All right. The light exposes our, let's read that word, failures, right? When you fail, what is that? A failure. And the light will sometimes, I mean, I'm sorry I'm being so simple, but, you know, sometimes we're just too complicated. But, you know, I mean, even to admit, you know, it might be hard, and I'm not pushing anybody's button here, but it might be hard for some of us to say, I failed. Is this true or not? Isn't this true? Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord, sometimes he wants you. He's going, okay, I'll just tell you how it's going to happen that in your Christian life, in your church life, I got to get some water here. The Lord is going to, you're going to fail. Okay. Whether you know it, everybody else will know it probably. But anyway, you might be the first to know. But the Lord will touch you regarding that, right? The light will shine on that. We'll talk about how that happens, okay? We'll talk about that. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the light, right? This is a good thing. Okay. Then the next one is mistakes. You know, that's another thing. We might even argue, yeah, I failed, but I didn't make a mistake. You know, sometimes we're just this way, you know. But I'm mistaken in something, you know. How about this? I'd rather be caught in a failure than a mistake. I don't know. Some people would rather be in a mistake than a failure. Failure's like, just the utter thing. Oh, I just made a mistake. But the light will shine on our mistakes. Wow. What kind of light is this? We need one of those flashlights that one of our brothers, Philip, he's back there. Hey, Philip. You know those flashlights, what are they called? 4.7s? Anyway, they're very intense, you know, they're very intense. They can really shine on. If you take one of those flashlights and you think your house is clean, sisters or brothers, you know, where you think it's clean, turn that flashlight on and walk around the house. You're going to, oh my goodness, you know, there's a lot more to do here. Okay, so the light has this result. What's the next point there? I mean, the next, besides mistakes? Wrongdoings. Okay, wrongdoings. Have you ever been wrong? Do you like to say you're wrong? Oh, Lord Jesus. Think about it. Just think about it. I'm not going to, you know, you're not, no one's on the stand here, although Zach may feel like he's on the stand. But no one is on it, you know, we're not trying anyone here. But think about it right now. When's the last time you said, according to the light, I'm wrong? Or you even, you know, said this. Maybe you said it to the Lord. Did you say it to another person, right? So this is a good thing, though. Don't get in your mind about this and think, I'll never be wrong again. You know, I plan never to fail again, and I'm not going to make any more mistakes because Pat said, yeah, this is what happens, you know. No, that's not what we mean. Okay, the next part, what's the next word? Oh, Lord Jesus, impure motives. Now we're going way down there. Impure motives, your motive. This shows that this light is penetrating, right? How about we all say that word, penetrating?
Penetrating.
Say it to yourself.
Penetrating.
Wow. The Lord wants to really penetrate. That's a good thing. You're going to see why, you know. It's marvelous, right? If we don't have this light, then a lot of things stop. But if we do, many good things happen, okay? So what's the other one? Evil intentions, right? Evil intentions, wow. So this light really does a lot of things. So think about those things. Okay, let's read. And by the way, these are not only things that we do, but things that we are, right? Sometimes the light will shine not only what you've done, but something about what you are. What kind of person are you? You know, like you're a jealous person. You didn't just do something to express your jealousy. You are a jealous person. The Lord shines light on that or something. You're an ambitious person. You're an ambitious brother. You know, these kind of things, okay? Let's read, I think we're on D, right? Let's go there. Read it.
Light exposes us and penetrates every hiding place.
Amen.
However,
that was not very strong. Let's read that again. That's really good news, okay? This is part of the cycle. The brothers will share about it tomorrow, but this is a big thing. If we let the light come in, if we let the light touch us, this is the promise we have. We didn't print this up. This is in John 1:7, right? This is John 1:7. Okay, let's read that again with full of faith, okay, and declare it. Go. Light exposes, penetrates. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say that last part again.
Whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses.
Amen. Whatever the light exposes, the blood cleanses. I'm going to read a verse. You can follow with me if you want. This is Ephesians 5:13. Paul says, to the church in Ephesus, right? So these are believers, right? To the church. These are not unbelievers. To the church. But all things which are reproved are made manifest by the light. For everything that makes manifest is light. And it's interesting. This verse is followed by verse 14. It's not in your outline, but listen to this verse. It says, therefore, he says, awake, sleeper, rise and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what this means? This means this. This means that we don't have to... Okay. This morning when you got up, did anybody in this room say, oh, sun, please shine today. I'm so worried. You know, what are we going to do? I got to pray. The sun, oh, sun, please shine. Is that the case? Why? Come on, tell me. It's already shining. Hallelujah. It's even shining and you don't know it's shining. It's shining when it's dark here and it's, shining in China or whatever. Okay, so it's shining. You don't have to do anything about it. What does this mean? Okay, look at this verse again. It says, awake. Awake. Let's say it.
Awake.
Man, say it to yourself.
Awake.
Right? The shining is there. So the Lord's shining is already there. We don't need to pray. Even though it's not bad if you pray this way, Lord, shine on me, Lord, shine in me. But the problem is not with the shining. The problem is with our opening. Okay, this is what we're talking about. That's the crucial point today, is with our maintaining, right, our openness, our receiving, our acceptance of the Lord's shining, right? So we want to be talking about that. And we're going to see some cases, okay, about that. Good cases, okay. So let's read E together.
Shining of the divine light and cleansing of the Lord's blood, help us to maintain the divine fellowship with the triune God and is for the growth in life.
For the growth in life. So this is the good news, is that the more... I want to read a few principles. I told you I was going to read these principles. This is... So the idea here is that the shining... The more the light, the divine light shines, the cleansing, the Lord's blood cleanses us, and this causes us to maintain the divine fellowship with the triune God and issues in the growth in life. We grow in life. So this is really important, and there's a great picture of this in the Old Testament in Genesis, but I want to read a few things first. It says some principles. Okay, you might want to write these down. The first one, light is related to life. Light, L-I-G-H-T, is related to life. I think we already know this. This we know. But this one, the next one, you may not have thought about. The measure of life we receive corresponds exactly with the measure of our enlightenment. So the measure of life you receive, do you want life? Okay, well then you must want more what? Light, right? Because the measure of life we receive corresponds with the measure of our enlightenment. Exactly, actually. Okay, the next one. Only the shining of light can bring forth life. Okay, only the shining of light can bring forth life. Actually, this is how we got saved. We were those in darkness. Like our brother Bruce was sharing, we were just people in darkness. One day, we were enlightened, right? Amen. By the life of light, right? And how this life became light to us, right? And this light brought life into us, Amen. Right? Praise the Lord! Amen. Isn't this good? Only the shining of light. So, this principle is still here today. Only the shining of light can bring forth life. In other words, it's not your behaving, right? Don't behave to think you're going to get more life. You need more light to get more life. Can we say that? I need more light to get more life.
I need more light to get more life.
Okay, and then last one. Only the shining of light can increase life. Let's say that. Yeah. So aren't those good principles to remember? So this should make us have, as we go to the next point, right? This will lead us to the next point. Okay, let's read these. Okay, we're going to talk about five cases and maybe one more from the Old Testament if we have time. I know I'm really going long here, but let's look at these. Let's read point Roman 4 together. The way to be enlightened.
And to live in the divine life,
five practical points. Okay, the first, let's read that one. We must desire, accept, receive the Lord's shining. I think we've talked about this, but you know, that's easy to say, right? It's easy for us to stand up here and say, or even you could do what I'm doing and just say, you know, we need to desire. We need to desire the light. You could turn to the brother next to you and tell him we need to desire the light. But the real situation, we got to come to the real situation. The real situation is that our heart is not desirous of the light. Can you all admit that? Come on. Come on. Come on. Right? Come on, come on, come on. You know, you may think so, you know, but maybe at a little time with the Lord you'll realize, like that song said, I hardly know myself, you know. All kinds of stuff there, right? Okay, so the real situation is that our heart is indifferent. And I looked up some other, you know, again, I say indifferent, you're like, check in your mind. Some of you, you know, you're smart. You're like, indifferent. I know what that word means. Check it off. Okay, listen, and I hope that when I read these other synonyms for the word indifferent, the Lord touches you or the Spirit moves us, you know, somehow. Listen, and think about your heart. Have you ever been this way, maybe in the meeting with the saints, according to the word, with the Lord, whatever? Listen, indifferent, nonchalant, for you highly educated ones, nonpartisan. Who knows what that word means? Go. Yeah, it's okay, you know. Hey, I'm nonpartisan. You know. Sounds like you're really cool, right? The Lord doesn't want a nonpartisan people. Right? Right? He wants you to open to Him, right? That would be an indifferent heart, right? In other words, you didn't want to get involved in this matter. I don't want to be involved, you know. Okay. Unconcerned. Have you ever been unconcerned? I got one coming up that's used a lot by young people. Hold on. Philip's back there shaking his head. He knows the word. Unimpressed. Have you ever said this? I'm just unimpressed. This is your indifferent heart. This is a description of our heart towards the Lord, right? It's just, these are all veils. Okay, we need to see this. These are veils that cover and keep us from receiving the light. And now a little deeper, callous. Your heart is callous toward the Lord. You know, it's like you could bounce a BB off of it or something, you know. It's as hard as a rock, you know, because of an offense or a misunderstanding. Your heart just became callous. Cold. Have you ever had a cold heart? Yes, right? Our heart has been cold. Detached, apathetic. I could care less. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me, you know, whatever. This is the way our heart. So our heart is in this condition, right? So we need to, let's read A again, just for some encouragement. A again. We must desire, accept, receive the Lord's shining. So we need to pray this kind of prayer. Lord, give me a desire, right? Give me, cause me to accept and receive your shining. Okay, let's read B. Oh, turn our hearts. So the key verse there, and let's read it, 2 Corinthians 3:16. If you have it, begin it. Go. Amen. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord. So there needs to be a turn, right? We circle that word turn, right? Whenever the heart, in your outline, I think it says turn our hearts and open ourselves to the Lord, right? So how do we do that? You know, actually, we just open to the Lord. Say, sometimes it's like this. Oh, Lord, turn my heart to you. Can we pray that right now? Oh, Lord, turn my heart to you, right? When we do that, guess what happens? What does it say? The what is taken away? The veil. What is the veil preventing from happening? Light from shining, right? So there's a veil on our heart, right? And we turn to the Lord. The Lord's able to shine, to penetrate, to touch something, okay? Touch, right? Zach. What did I touch? I didn't hit it, did I? I just touched it, right? So just touch. Just touch something, right? To, you know. Okay, let's read the next point together. We should put a stop to our views and ways of looking at things, our feelings and opinions and words, and just open to the Lord as light. Okay, easy to say. It's a whole other thing to practice this. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, and I bet you a lot of older serving ones, will give me a big amen if I say this, that you don't really stop yourself until you've been stopped, you know, until you have failed, and you've had a big crash and burn experience where you realize, you know, you'd better be stopped, you know. It's really the case, you know, because, so, in other words, it's difficult to stop ourselves, especially, but we need to, right? So, let's look at a case. I said I was going to do that. So, let's turn to Luke 10, 38, and let's read those verses there. This is a story about Martha. So, all the brothers right now, they're like, yeah, those sisters. You know, I'm so glad he's talking about them. Brothers, you just wait. You just wait. Okay. Okay, let's read these verses. Luke 10:38 through the end of the chapter. Okay, go.
Now as they went, he entered into a certain village.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we can see this scene here, right? Two sisters, or two saints, however you want to look at it. And look at verse 41 again. In this verse, you can see what are the veils that are covering Martha. What are they? Let's name them. Anxiety. What else? Troubles, right? And I think about what?
Many things,
right? Right, many things. You know, we should all serve the Lord, you know, but Martha was in a condition. I mean, this is a comparison, right, between two people. That's why it's here, right? It's not Martha's at one place, Mary's at another place. Where is Mary? Oh, praise the Lord. Let me read this footnote. It says, the Lord prefers that his saved ones who love him listen to him. Amen. Let's say amen to that.
Amen.
I'll read it again. The Lord prefers that his saved ones who love him listen to him.
Amen.
That they may know his desire.
Amen.
Rather than do things for him without knowing his will. So sometimes we're like Martha, right? Even the brothers are like this, even though they deny it right now. But, you know, we're busy. We're too busy, right? We're too busy. And yet we should be more like a Mary. Now, you may think that's the end of the story with Martha. But I read this thing by Watchman Nee, and he said, Martha here is busy outwardly. But in John 11, she's busy inwardly. So let's read John 11 real quick. Let's look at John 11. Just a few verses there. I know I'm running out of time. Oh, amen. John 11. So those of you who know a little bit about the Bible know that John 11 is a very, very strange chapter. Because what's going on there? Why is it there, you know? And we're going to find out why it's there. So actually, what's going on in this chapter is the Lord, who is the resurrection life, is being frustrated by human opinion, right? And believe it or not, this human opinion that's frustrating the Lord is coming from all the disciples. And it's coming from everywhere, okay? Let's just read a few verses here. Read verse 8, okay? Go. Disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? What is that? Opinion. They had an opinion. Okay, let's read verse 12. This is when the Lord spoke something about Lazarus. Read verse 12. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. They're teaching the Lord. What is that? Opinion. That's based on their opinion. Verse 16, Thomas, have you ever been like Thomas? Let's read this. Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we can die with him. Thomas, but we've been like this, you know. Oh, yeah, I know what's going to happen in the meeting. I'll go, I guess so, you know. You know, we're kind of this way. Okay, verse 21, let's read that. Martha, here we come. Go. Said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the last resurrection in the last day. Verse 28, and when she had said this, she went away and called her sister secretly, saying, the teacher is here and is calling you. The Lord never did that. The Lord never called Mary. So Martha is so busy inwardly, right? Okay, read, and then you think, well, Mary's off the hook, but read verse 32. Then Mary, when she came to where Jesus was, saw him. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Okay, so I think it made the point is no one escapes this matter of opinion, right? Let's read this. We did read that, right? Our ways are looking at things, our feelings, opinions. These also frustrate the Lord, okay? Frustrate the light. Okay, let's read D. We should not dispute with the enlightening within, but immediately submit, with it accordingly. Accept, submit, and deal with it accordingly. Okay, for time's sake, we won't read Isaiah, but let's go to Luke chapter 1, I'm sorry, Luke 5, and read this story about Peter. 5, 1 through 8. Okay, once you get it, begin.
And as the crowd pressed upon him to hear the word of God,
amen.
He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats lying by the lake, and the fishermen
Amen. 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 And Simon answered and said, Master, through the whole night we toiled and caught nothing. But based on your word, I will let down the nets. And when they did this, they enclosed a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear apart. And they signaled to their companions in the other boat to come and assist them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And when Amen. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord. Read verse 9, 10, and 11. Go ahead. Amen.
Okay. Who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men alive.
Amen.
And when they had brought the boats to the land, they left all and followed him.
Isn't this a good story? So here we see Peter as a, it's in the Word, and this is a picture of one actually being shined upon by the Lord. But it's very interesting what Peter says and then the whole scene behind it. Because what is it that Peter says about himself? What does he say? I am what? Sinful man. What was Peter doing there that was so bad? Where was the sin? Show me. That's right. You got it, brother. Yeah. He was shined upon by the Lord, right? Something that we couldn't see. But Peter knew. Outwardly, no one else knew what was going on. But this light penetrated Peter, right? Because the story, if you look at it, and I know I'm short on time, but, it's very interesting. It says, the way it begins, it says, and he saw two boats lying by the lake, and the fishermen had gotten out of them, were washing their nets. Who washes their nets after, Zach, if you and I go fishing, and we use nets today, do you think we'll wash our nets when we're done? Who washes their nets? Come on, say it. No. Why are they washing their nets? Okay. Listen, they're professionals. They're professionals. This is what professionals do with their tools. They're washing them. I used to paint houses. And, a typical guy goes to the store, pays $25 for a nice brush, uses it and sticks it in the paint and leaves it in the paint can. It becomes hard as a rock. A professional painter would never do that. What would he do? Wash the brush. He's going to wash it, Well, this is a kind of opening scene. These are professionals. If you're a do we have any professionals here, by the way? You're really a professional at your, you know your stuff about something. Come on, somebody. Robert, what do you know? Air conditioning. Top to bottom? Good. Okay. Robert, suppose I come to you on your job. You're the professional. And it's the end of the day. It says they were through fishing, right? They were through. It's the end of the day, and I show up, and I start to, and after I speak a little bit to the crowd, I say, let's go out there, let's do this and do this, and this whole thing will start working. Maybe the air conditioning's broken, What would you think of me? Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe not immediately. You might feel like, I know my stuff, right? Who are you? Who are you? You know, this is what Peter said to the Lord. This is what, how he said it to the Lord. He says, we've been working on this thing all night. We're professionals. When he's talking like this, what is he doing? He's approving himself. He's showing how strong he believes in himself. Then the Lord performs this miracle, right? And this miracle, just this little miracle was like, shined into him. Anyway, I better stop here. But isn't this good?
Amen.
So sometimes the Lord will even come to you on your job, you know. Whenever we're self-approving, the Lord will shine on those things, self-justifying. Thank you, brother, for that insight. Let's read E and we're done. Okay, let's read Psalm 36, 9. Okay. So this point is about not just obeying the shining one time, right? But continually keep ourselves under the enlightening. Okay, let's read this Psalm 36, 9b. Go. Or the whole verse. Amen.
In your light, we see light.
So in your light, we see light. And I want to close with just one point here, and that is when this light comes, okay, just to be clear, it's not, okay, we're talking about this. Is that right? Enlightening. And not okay, is that clear? What are we talking about? Enlightening and not
enlightening.
All right, don't get this. So we don't want to hear any testimonies that are kind of like this, you know, necessarily. But this, enlightening. You know what enlightening is? It's like the dawn. It's just this very gentle, shining, pleasant even. Don't get in your, you know. But the Lord will come. Right, Bobby? Isn't this true? You just seems like you're just doing your daily thing. You're just going along and all of a sudden, oh, amen. You agree. You know, you accept it, right? What happens when you accept the light? Let's go back to it. What happens right away? Come on, say it.
Light.
No? The blood. Okay, let's do that again. What happens when the light shines? Right away. The blood cleanses. Isn't that good? So that's how good it is to receive the light. And after the blood cleanses, where are you now again? You're in life, right? You're in the right place. We should be on the cycle. Okay, I'm done. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe Robert?
I would just pray just for a minute.
Amen. Oh.
Mic is still on.
Yeah.
I'll mute it.